What do you know about Russia? I mean, really know about this place? Hi, I'm Sean, and when I came to this country 13 years ago, I was lost in a land of expectations and stereotypes. And really, I didn't know anything. What I discovered here was a place with deep culture and rich heritage and amazing people who had amazing stories to share. Our goal is to make real connections with extraordinary people and those with global ideas and talents that we can all benefit from. And then, quite simply, give these hidden gems a platform to share their humanity with us. So we came here to Nizhny Novgorod to speak to hockey legend Igor Larionov. Now, you might be thinking, hockey, it doesn't get much more stereotypical than Russia and hockey. But what if I told you hockey was more than just a sport, maybe even an art or deeply philosophical? Igor Larionov's nickname is The Professor, and we came to ask him why.
When you have a piano, you play piano. I won everything in hockey. Passion for the game is incredible. It's all about creativity. So a game should be for everybody.
When a blind boy joined, I took his hands in mine and asked him to imagine that his palms were his feet. And that smile is what matters.
Sooner or later, so the situation is going to be normal and we're going to be back.
Hello.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Doing well.
Doing well.
Good. Igor Larionov, thank you very much for having us here and showing us your facility and letting us kind of into your life to see what you do here. So tell me about that a little bit. You are incredibly successful, a man of the world. You have won amazing achievements in hockey. Yet you come here to Nizhny Novgorod to take on a team that is not necessarily at the top of its game, not the best of the best. What's your philosophy and what are your goals?
Let me start with the trophies you mentioned. I won everything in the hockey except one Gagarin Cup. So mm-hmm. That's the team lacking this trophy. And obviously, the challenge behind my hiring for this club and decision to come to the city because of that tradition of the of this club and the history of the mm-hmm. This team and also the legends you can see who played for the wearing the jerseys since 1946 mm-hmm. And to me this town kind of remind me of Detroit because of the auto industry and the blue collar people and fans and the passion for the game is incredible. So that's the young team. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a lot of effort to make this kind of project successful because we got some young, talented players, so which has been kind of rejected from the in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And mm-hmm. We're trying to develop. We're not trying to buy, you know. We're trying to develop whatever we have and trying to build a club which is able to compete against the top teams in the league and to bring that trophy to Nizhny.
So I've heard you say that hockey is like theater. In fact, even going as far as saying that this type of a game brings people into the stands. It's like a good play for actors. And of course, I'm paraphrasing here. But in this idea, is hockey less of a sport and more theatrics?
Well, you know what? If you want to go on a global stage and bring the young generation of fans and the people, you got to do something special for them. So, it, in terms of the develop the players, develop the game, and make the game attractive to the young generation of fans and the families to come and enjoy the show. So, because the game of hockey, it's a game, mm-hmm. you know. And I tell the players, you know, when you have a piano, so what do you do? You work on piano? Mm-hmm. They say no, you play piano. Hockey, you work? No, you play. That's what the game. It's all about the game. It's all about creativity. It's all about the values. You know, we put on this wall ambitions and accountability, creativity, and unity. So it's all about the team. It's all about be successful all together. So all in and all out. So that's what we're trying to build. And trying to build is going to take some time. But you know, we're not going to take too much time because of that. The season this year is very kind of like experimental because mm-hmm. of that modern situation around the globe. So, and we're trying to use every detail to make this happen like in a nice way.
Talk to me a little bit more about this philosophy of your team. I can see ambition here, and you mentioned creativity. But also, you have read a lot about stoicism. Is that the right type of a philosophy for what's happening right now in the world? And also, how does that help build a team?
Well, that's the plan. That's the plan, like to tell the boys, you know what, it's... whatever happened in the world, so we part of this kind of the whole situation, you know. But you know, the players, you know, the city, the country, the fans, and also the a lot of people around the country. So watching our team because of that, you know, we what we can do. We can play hockey, mm-hmm. or we can do anything else. So the players, you know, they're playing the game. They're playing the game. They have to give like 100% effort to give that hope and. You know, and kind of like diplomacy-wise, like do some stuff on ice. You know, bring some joy, bring some excitement, like surprise us coaches with a great goals and great assists and a great play and the courage also. So that's the plan. That's the plan, like to bring the team together, bring the players together, have a goal, and all together trying to accomplish this kind of goal in a long like a marathon season.
Cool. Let's see what else we can find here.
Right.
So I'm excited to be in this place. We'll get to where we are in a second. But first, can you talk to me about hockey IQ? What is it? And... can it be improved like regular intelligence?
Well, to me, as a hockey player, a former hockey player, as a coach, hockey IQ, I would say it's a number one, like priority to have on the team. Players who knows the game, who knows like how to make the instant decision during the game when it's. Game on the line to keep the poise and to make the right decisions. So that's very important. So that's we're trying to kind of create some drills during the practices. So the players when they got the limited time and in a small area. So you got to read the game. You got to see what's going to happen. What's going to be next move or next play or next decision making. So that's the key. So and that the players like separate from the good to the great because when they got some like highest IQ when they unpredictable. So that's what takes the game to the next level and also give some appreciation for the fans to see a little detail. In the game, which is going to make a big difference in terms of winning the game, a right pass, a right goal, and the right situation when you use this kind of like IQ.
You are or are known to have been part of the Red Machine, and the name itself implies that it's one group of people working together as one team to make it happen. Teamwork is what it comes down to. But right now we're living in an era of superstars like Sidney Crosby, Ovechkin, Malkin. For you, what's more interesting, developing a team working together or kind of raising that next new star that can pull the game along?
Well, it's I would say you gotta have individual like personalities, you know, so the players who can make a big difference. So, but the main goal for those individuals to play the team game. So, you know, and we told the boys, we got the number one star for the game is the team, you know. And from my own experience, to have a high quality players and the high IQ players when they play the team game, so it gives you so many options to be successful. So that's what we create on the team We want to have like a nice chemistry between the smart players and the players who can we can see down the road. So we're going to make a huge difference. And we got some young players who who's making the first steps towards that kind of understanding of the game. You can't really rush it, so but you can be patient because of that. You got to go through mistakes, but when you see a brilliant play by the young players, so basically you got to encourage them to keep doing that.
You mentioned if you see a brilliant play by a brilliant player, you have to encourage them. How do you, as a coach, spot talent, and how do you find the players to come here?
You know what? It's a really good question because you know, obviously you got the. Stats and reports and from the scouts and but you got to see the player in action. So that's what I like to do, and I want to see like what this player can bring to the team, what this player can make a little detail during his like practice or the game, and you can see if you see like things like doing quick and smart and in the right time. So you can develop that. You can get more out of this player when you give him a little freedom to go through mistakes and create some plays. Sometimes mistakes, sometimes like interceptions, sometimes turnovers. But you know what? The young players, you know, they have to express themselves, and you gotta give them a chance like to do that.
Continuing to develop your skills and get better. It's essential for any elite athlete. And for Yu Sato, that is even more the case. He picked up his entire life and moved from Japan to Russia to train with the best. First of all, thanks for coming out to me.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you moved here from Japan, mm-hmm. picked up your life. Is it just so that you can train with the elite, the best of the best, or is there some other motivation happening here?
Yeah, obviously, it's KHL is the one with the best league in the world, and Igor Rabrianov, he became the head coach of the Torpedo. And yeah, he invited me here, and I said, yeah, of course, I'll play for this team, and it happened like that.
What is the next step for you? I mean, where do you see your career going? Do you want to play for the NHL? Do you want to stay in the KHL? What is your goal?
Obviously, playing in the NHL is my dream, one of my dreams. And but I, first of all, I want to play in KHL and show what I got, and we'll see. Yeah.
When I think of Japan, I don't really think of hockey as one of the major exports. Is Japan big on hockey? And do you think that your example here can bring other young players to make hockey something more strong in Japan?
Yeah, and of course I want to be an example for young kids in Japan, and like I want to prove everyone that Japanese players can play in this league, and yeah.
So we're talking about the environment of a player is being important for their development. Talk to me and kind of tell me more about that idea.
Well, when you have a young player in your hands, so you gotta give him a kind of welcome to feel like comfortable in this environment. So because the young players usually they kind of shy and. If you see the talent, you gotta surround this talent with the right people, especially people with experience who can help. Because the coaches, you know, we can talk, we can guide them, and we can give some all different advices. But at the same time, the experienced players who's been on the ice and who's been on the bench, who's been in the locker room. So that's where you want to have like the right environment. Mm-hmm. So when that's because the young players so benefits from the. To have around like a veteran so who's been around for many years and who can kind of tell them or show some details, which is very important to our overall development.
What about the idea of inclusivity? Is hockey an inclusive sport? I mean, I know that playing at the most elite levels, you have to be at the top physical condition. But are there opportunities for people who might not have alternative abilities, let's say? Is hockey inclusive?
Well, it's a very difficult question to answer. So, but I guess in my mind, so a game should be for everybody. You know, the girls and the boys and the sledge hockey, and it's a game. It's you know, bring the game of hockey, bring some joy and expectations, and also kind of relief. You know, when you when you're in school, when you like even the amateur players here, when you go from work to the ice rink to play the game, so it's kind of like therapy. So when you enjoy the game and kind of like put those thoughts aside and then just go enjoy it. So basically, it's a game for everybody.
First of all, thank you for having us out here. It's really cool to watch these kids train. For these kids, is hockey more of therapy, or is it also a sport for them as well?
It's different for every child. For some of them, it's therapy. Others aspire to a big future in sports. Each case is unique. Some of the kids are already testing themselves against adults while continuing to train with youth sides. The rest continue their development here. It really depends on each case and the disability.
So these kids deal with pain and suffering in many cases on different levels every single day. But hockey is known to be a very physical sport, demanding. It can be painful and sometimes dangerous. Is that not a worry for these kids?
Well, like any sport, no one's immune to injury. However, the emotional satisfaction and thrill that they get on the ice outweighs everything. Of course, no one wants to be injured. But you just have to be prepared, because it's sport.
So these kids, they deal with pain on a daily basis, as we've already talked about. But for every athlete, there's a motivation. What drives these kids to get up every day and come to the ice and do something so physical?
First of all, some of these kids will have a future in adult sledge hockey. For others, it's just an opportunity to smile, to feel happy. Because when they come here, they forget about the pain and their limitations. It's not just a sports club for them, it's a family, a place where we get together to train. We join inter-club competitions. It's what many of these kids live for, to the point that they can't imagine their life without sledge hockey.
No, sledge hockey is a very unique sport. Do you know, in your experience, of any of these kids who've gone on to a bigger level? I understand that there is a national sledge hockey team as well. And then maybe you know of any cases of people who have overcome their disabilities and even been able to go on to play professional hockey in the NHL or KHL.
We're still a relatively young organization. We've only been training children for 3 years, so nothing like that has happened here yet. But I know that it has happened in Canada, for example. There were cases when sledge hockey players who had one leg were able to play ice hockey with able-bodied athletes using a custom-made prosthetic leg. We're starting new groups now, adaptive ice hockey for children with autism. It will be regular vertical ice hockey. We're currently signing kids up for that group now. Then there will be a new ice hockey group for people who are visually impaired. When a blind boy joined, we wanted him to get a feel for the ice first. He touched the rink, the boards, the glass, and the net, so he could get his bearings. Then I took his hands in mine and asked him to imagine that his palms were his feet. I moved his hands to show him how to skate, and he tried to copy the movement with his legs. That boy had an unforgettable and emotional experience. He was thrilled beyond words. It was difficult, of course, as he'd never skated before. And he was exhausted. But there was a smile on his face all through the training session. And that smile is what matters.
You and I have touched on this a little bit in our conversations off camera, but right now we're in incredibly politically driven times where politics are affecting sports and affecting the players in sports. Do you think that this is a problem? Is this going to be bad for all sports in general, or and what can we do to move past it?
You know what? You can look at this situation again at two different angles. So there's nothing much we can do right now. We just, we play in the game, you know. And when you give a situation that's going to give you some isolation from the international hockey, so you still gotta do what you can do best. You know, you can enjoy the game, you can develop, you can work on different details, and then at the same time. I just hope sooner or later, so the situation is going to be normal and we're going to be back. So that's the, you know, that's what we can do. That's what we can do because, you know, we got in every game, we got full house, 5,500 people watching the game, and those people coming to watch this the game and forget about the troubles, forget about what's going on outside of this building. So that's what we got to give it back to them. And it's kind of like any artist going to the theater and on the stage. So we don't know what they're doing behind stage, but what they do on the stage is the most important. So that's what I tell the boys, just go out and show your best and give some hope and give some joy for the all. People who's coming to the games.
Now, you're called the professor, and I'm just an observer. Is there anything that I may have forgotten to ask, anything that you think it's important for people to know about what you do, your philosophy, or just life in general?
Well, I'm not sure if I can give some guidance what philosophy I would recommend or something like that, but you know, it's when you do your job, when you come, to your working place, come to school, come to hockey rink, come to the tennis court, come to college, come to anywhere. So you gotta enjoy what you're doing. So obviously you can have a lot of excuses about the weather, about politics, about this, about that. But you gotta enjoy the life. You gotta enjoy. You gotta love what you do, and you gotta do good purpose and. That's what we do with the hockey team.
All right. Thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Educational and very, very impressive.
Thank you very much. Thank you.